Hey, listener, this podcast is called Trigger Warning Romance for a reason. It is intended for an 18 plus audience due to the adult context and triggers that may be discussed in each episode. Please check the show notes for a full list of triggers and proceed with caution. You have been properly warned. It's time to count off the triggers.
Hello, and welcome to Trigger Warning Romance, everybody. I'm Nat.
I'm Lo.
And we are back today to talk about Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. Oh, such a fun book.
I died of laughter so many times.
Yes.
I was like, wait, is this really dark? Like, but it was so much fun.
Yes. I was going to ask you that. I was like, do you consider this a dark romance? Because
I think the serial killer aspect absolutely is non-normal. And I think for me, like, we've had this conversation on TikTok, I believe, and I've had it with other people. For me to describe something as a dark romance, it requires elements outside of the normal everyday, what we would accept as legal.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially for me, a mafia romance, depending on the aspects of it, can be a dark romance just on the basis of being a mafia romance.
Yeah.
So for them to be serial killers and to make a fucking game out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll just say just cause it's hilarious. It's still a dark romance.
Yes. I would say it is a dark romance. It's not on the, this is crazy to say, cause we're talking about dark, like we're talking about serial killers. It's not on the darker side of dark romance, but I think it's definitely on the spectrum of dark romance.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that, I'll be honest, I love a good serial unreliver.
Mm-hmm.
I read another one and it was less comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I enjoyed that. But one of the aspects of this book that made it so well done was the comedy inside of it.
Yeah.
Was the funny aspects you were like, no,
yeah,
way. I laughed and was horrified at some points. I think you know which part I'm talking about. I don't think I'll ever do the same.
Oh my goodness.
But I had a blast with this and I really enjoyed it. It was a fluffier dark romance, if you will.
Yeah, totally. That's a great way to put it. It's a fluffy dark romance, if there was such a thing.
I think we just coined a new genre, subgenre. Fluffy dark romance.
Yeah. So we actually, I don't know if I told you, I started a book, like a spicy book club with my kindergarten moms. And this was a book that we decided to read together. And I am so happy that they really liked it. And we had a little party, like we have like a dinner party every time they come over and we discuss a book. But it's really, it's just a shh, don't tell him, my husband. It's an excuse for us to get together and drink wine without kids around.
I love that.
So speaking of ice cream, I was like, somebody needs to bring cookies and cream ice cream. May I please just read the trigger warning list to you all? Because this trigger warning list was even funny. It's eyeballs and eye sockets, amateur surgery, skin ornaments, chainsaws, axes, knives, scalpels, a lot of sharp objects, accidental cannibalism, not so accidental cannibalism, questionable use of mummified corpses, lobotomized manservant, ill-advised use of kitchen implements, I'm sorry about the cookies and cream ice cream, I'm not really. Detailed sex scenes in which include but are not limited to cockwarming, rough sex, praise kink, anal, adult toys, choking, spitting, dom-sub interactions, genital piercings, references to parental neglect and child abuse, parental loss, not depicted, references to child sexual assault, not in detail. It's a book about serial killers, so there's some generally messed up murder and chaos. The end.
I do want to point out that if you do use Goodreads right now for the next 6 days, 10 hours, and 41 minutes. There is a giveaway for 15 copies that Goodreads is hosting.
And this is as of March 12th.
Right? Yeah.
So it's probably like 2 days by the time this episode's come out. I'm sorry.
So yeah, hurry.
Okay.
So
talk to me. Yes. Talk to me, girl.
I am utterly obsessed with this man.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the accents that I just picture.
Mm-hmm.
Or Boston, and then the Irish. Mm-hmm. It just, oh, goodness gracious. I fell to pieces just in my head. I think one of my favorite parts was when he was worried about Sloane figuring out who he was and what he really was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the middle of nowhere. He's just annihilated this guy.
Yes.
And he's screaming out her name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you don't run to this man and comfort him, what is wrong with you? I don't know. I'm a sucker for psychos.
That was a hot scene. Like the scene where he was killing, where it happened all over the place. But the gist is they're both serial killers who kill other serial killers. So like Dexter wise. So morally gray, because they kill bad people. They don't kill just anybody. And so he finds her. That was a funny scene where he finds her in a cage.
And okay, side note, orzo pasta. I started eating orzo after this. I've never had orzo before.
No.
Never.
Oh, boy.
And it's my favorite pasta now, which I can't have anymore. Well, in small increments, yes. But still. Side note. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that was funny. Because he finds her in, like, this cage, and then he just starts fangirling once he figures out who she is. Because he's like, oh, I love your work. You're the best. I've been following you.
And she's like, I'm in a cage, bro.
Yeah, and she's been there for days, and she's, like, disgusting, and this corpse is literally, because she killed a serial killer and then ended up in the cage accidentally. It's a whole thing. It's fine. But, like, is, like, rotting and, like, bubbling away feet from her, and she's like, can you let me out? Like, because he's fangirling while she's still in the cage.
I loved them. I thought that was probably like the beginning of the hilariousness, where I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. Because I personally did not do, like I do most times, I don't look up the story when I'm going to read something. I may look up the author, couple of just side note things. But as far as I go in blind a lot of times.
Yeah.
So when I was like, okay, this is funny.
Mm-hmm.
That was the part where I was like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
it was so
good. So
funny.
Rom-com dark romance.
Yeah. It really was, though. Because besides the fact that they were both serial killers and there was a lot of just gore, you know, it was a very, like, funny boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl kind of thing.
Boy falls first.
Yes.
Heavily falls first.
Yes. I love that in a book.
And so hard.
Oh, yeah.
So the things he did for her, the cooking while stalking.
Yes.
Come on now. Come on. What? I just, okay, so he has this little kid drop off groceries to her house and then calls her so she can cook with him on the phone.
While he's like a foot away from her house behind a tree.
Watching her cook. Like, yeah. I obsessed over it. Now, is there something wrong with me? Possibly. Do I care? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I lived for all of, like, the little things. Or when, like, she goes on the date when they're staying in the hotel. And he's, like, upset.
So jealous. Yeah.
Upset. And then being watched through the walls and she thinks it's him. And I'm like, bestie. Would you really mind if it was him?
No.
Like, I would.
He was hot. I sent you a picture of what he looks like in my brain. I found, like, character art he's like in a chef. He's a chef, guys. So you had me at chef. Like, you can cook for me and do all this delicious stuff and like look the way you do, right? It's a hot picture. Is that not what you pictured him as? Because I think that character is perfect. I'll link it in show notes.
I will be honest. I am one of the worst people to picture characters, how they're described in books.
Okay.
You can absolutely tell me a character looks like this. I cannot do it. I cannot build a character from description. So I always rely on authors to drop like character art after the fact. But every time, like, because I see books when I read them, like they form pictures in my head. Everybody's got a muted face. It's just like a flat, like,
okay,
flesh. So okay. I mean, now that I see this, yes, I absolutely have reinvented and repictured everything, and it looks delicious.
Yeah, like
Sloan still has no facial features, but that's okay.
I'll send you what I thought. See, I pictured Sloan as Emma Stone with dark hair.
Ooh,
I'll send you a picture of that too. Because especially because she had that like raspy voice, right? Mm-hmm. Like that really sold me and my book club friends on Anna. Also like that, like I could see her like that characteristic, that like socially awkward, funny, like totally like sociopathic.
Yes. But like in a homey way.
Mm-hmm.
You get a real sense of who Sloan is and her self-worth when she goes to visit him in his bar. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And she's watching everybody. She feels out of place. She doesn't feel welcome. And then she's making a drawing, which I love. And she kind of like books it. And it gives you that whole, okay, she's a Billy badass. Cause like unalive, murder.
Mm-hmm.
She's the orb weaver. Yeah. She could turn you into a map.
Yep.
And she's socially awkward to the point where she bounces because she's not sure if she should be where she is. Same girl.
Yeah.
Same. She is me, I am she.
Can we also just talk about how sweet he was? Because he reserved that booth for her indefinitely. Because she's very particular about where she sits and how she sits. So he picked like the perfect booth in his restaurant, his very, very busy restaurant, by the way, guys.
Yes.
That is permanently reserved for her.
In case she shows up. Like, yeah. Not even like, oh, she's coming every day. She said she's coming. It was just like she sat there for a reason. The reason was because she could see all points of exit. She was not too close to anything. She was dead center of everything and could get out easily. Yeah. Which, same girl. Ooh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
That Emma Stone. I'll link that picture too. I'll see if I can link picture. I have no idea to do this. Don't hold me to this, guys. I'm gonna try.
I will post it on my IG the day we post the episode as well.
There we go. Perfect. But yeah, that's how I pictured them. I thought that was like the perfect two together. And can we?
So
just,
you
I'm sorry.
Are now the casting director
Thank
for all
you.
Books we read.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I think I could do that.
Because like, I'm so bad at descriptions.
Oh, I'm pretty good at it. Yeah.
I think the only reason I remembered Redhead from our last book was because it's so rare.
Because he was a redhead, yeah.
Yeah.
The forearm porn, though, in that picture with the are you a forearm girl? Because I'm
a nurse,
I
most definitely am.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
can I see your veins? I want to see if I can poke them.
Mine are pretty good. I think you'll be all right.
I got you.
I'm also
mine
like,
are horrible.
I'm also pale as a ghost, so I feel like that helps, you know?
I actually do my IVs by feeling, not by sight.
Oh,
and right. I can feel them is usually what's best for me.
Nice. I love me a forearm moment. And that picture of the character art that we will post somewhere of him, the forearms just make me drool.
It's perfect. And then like the chef with the blood and the knife. Just so perfect. So perfect. This book made me happy.
This book made me happy.
Not even just the dark romance side of it, but just the romance side of it. How he was dedicated to showing her that he wanted her. The small things, like, and I mean, yeah, cool. We go hunting like serial killers, and mm-hmm. that's fun, which just sounds fun. Like I want somebody to take me hunting, but I digress. Just the way he cared about her, though. Mm-hmm. He genuinely cared about her. And a lot of times when you see these serial killer romances, they focus on like the psychotic emotions of the people, but you got to see the relationship really build in this, and I had a good time.
Yeah, it was a slow burn, and personally I'm not one for slow burns. Like, I need them to bang it out as soon as possible. So I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, that it kept my interest the whole time, because it was like so, like, I guess because it was so piney, is that a word? Like, he was pining for her so much, and like the sexual tension was there from page two.
I think for me, there was so much going on, like the gore of it, the hunts, because mm-hmm. you see that it's not, and that's the other thing. This is spanned over a decent chunk of time.
Yeah.
I don't remember how, I think it's an annual thing, and they do two.
Three, I think.
Yeah, we see, right? Two or three. Yeah. Well, we see the first one mm-hmm. that is not really a hunt. And then the second one is the guy that runs out into the forest, whatever. Yeah. And then the third one is the ice cream man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see three, almost this spans over 3 years, I want to say, or something close. So I think that because we get to see like multiple hunts and other things involved, I wasn't like as distracted, but I was distracted from the slow burn, because I'm a very much can we get sex on page one?
Yeah,
what
me
are we
too.
Doing here? We're on page 10 and they haven't even finger banged. Why are we not there yet?
I'm with you. I need them to bang it out as soon as possible, which is I think why everybody who listens to the podcast knows I'm such a big fan of Zoe Blake, because Zoe Blake is known for like literally page three, somebody's getting railed, whether they like it or not, which is even better.
You keep talking about Zoe, and I keep saying I need her on my shelf.
You do. She's incredible.
We will talk about what you recommend for my first Zoe Blake read.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm gonna leave it up to you. I'm gonna follow your.
I'm gonna. I mean, you're a veteran of dark romance, so I don't need to tiptoe you into anything. You need to read. Oh, no. I think it's Wicked Games. Hang on. Because, you know, me and titles, I'm like you. I can't remember shit.
I can remember word for word, Oxycontin by Little White from 2003. I cannot remember the characters in the book I just read an hour ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, titles, forget about it. Which, you know those videos where people are like, oh, I've got a rec for that. Mm-hmm. I used to do those. But you know what? I would spend hours trying to remember the title for the book.
Yeah.
That I had to rec for.
Me too. So I'm going to throw you right into the Dark Obsessions series. Everybody who's listened to the podcast already knows. It starts with Wicked Games. I don't want to ruin it for you. I'm not spoiling it. But it is hardcore non-con, real mind fuckery. Oh. Like real mind fuckery. And there is non-consensual figging.
Yeah. Oh, is that an audiobook? Yep.
Yeah.
There's an audiobook.
Yeah. There's three of them. Technically, there's five of them. There's three of the original brother, and then the second brother gets involved in book four and five.
Oh, well, it's already been downloaded. So
okay, perfect. So back to Butcher and Blackbird, because that's where we are right now. Let's talk about what we need to talk about. Let's talk about that second killing. Actually, no. You know what? We'll talk about the first killing, where they go off on the first hunt, and Lachlan, his brother, sends them to... Is it West Virginia? I think it's West Virginia.
I think, I girl, towns, I
it doesn't that's matter. A detail. That's he sends them somewhere to find a serial killer. He doesn't give them any clues. He just sends them to a place.
Which I love. I think it's hilarious. Because if she remembers, she's like, wait, this is your brother. That's an unfair advantage. She's like, trust me, he doesn't want me to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm really looking forward to Lachlan's book, which is book two.
Especially the way this ended.
Yes. I'm like, And I'm Lark excited. Is, like, low-key one of my favorite characters. She's just so fun.
Yeah.
And Lachlan seems very broody, so I'm on board. But back to this fucking tangent. So what I really liked is, yes, he gets jealous when she goes on a date with the innkeeper, I guess, or whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that he is actually a serial killer, and he was like watching her through a wall while she masturbates. And Lachlan,
and homie's listening.
Yeah, both of them were listening, but he was also watching, I think, because he like.
Yep, he was watching right? The hole in the wall.
And mm-hmm. She put like hole in the shit. Wall. Yeah. And so then our hero, why can't I remember his name? What's his name? Butcher. Fuck. Hang on.
What's Rowan.
Rowan. Thank you.
Rowan.
Rowan gets
I'm
like.
I'm looking at you and I'm like, put the pieces together, Lo. Come on.
We need Tori, man. We're so bad
at names.
I'm so
bad with names.
He like chases him down and like in a rage. Murders, like jumps on his car, like makes him crash into a tree, fucking punches him to death, like with his bare hands. How hot was that? That was so just, hot.
I it's a need in my life. Segway, we got into a bar brawl many years ago.
Okay.
Somebody put their hands on me and my husband was not having it. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I don't condone violence, unprovoked, of course.
Yes.
But I was just like,
That's yeah, hot.
That's hot.
That is hot.
That's hot. So yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. All the yeses.
Yeah. Cause he was, remember what he whispered to him like right before, because he was like pleading, he was like, she's mine, only I get to watch her. And I'm like, yes.
The possession, the obsession, the need. And she wasn't his yet.
No,
but she was his.
But she was his from the beginning.
From the moment he saw her in the cage, he was like, that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine. I licked it. It's mine.
Yeah.
And her reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Was funny to me because, girl, go get your mans. Yeah. What did you do? Go get your mans. And his concern that she had seen all of that. He was stripped raw because of the emotions he was having and what he did, what it brought back for him, all the things he was thinking about. But his concern was still her.
Yeah.
His concern was still how she was going to view him now. And he's so soft and cuddly. He's just a little murderous.
Just a little bit, but only in the right places. Only in the right places and situations.
I think it was well deserved. I think it was well deserved. Okay, so I don't remember what happened to homegirl that was in the barn. You remember?
Oh, okay, that's Chainsaw Guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was after the dinner party, right? That was after.
Or was I don't that remember before? When it was. I think it was before.
It doesn't matter.
Either way, did she get out?
Yes. So what happens is there's like it's Texas serial chainsaw guy vibes and same kind of thing. And he had some girl locked up in a bar. So they got her out.
But I feel like she got unalived.
No, she ran away, which that's the one kind of thing I had a little bit like, I get it, it's fiction. But they were very careful with like DNA and stuff because
at all
they gave her, Sloan at that point. Remember, she got kicked. She got put in the cage with the girl, with whoever was in the cage, and the girl was naked. So Sloan gave her her shirt, and then bitch fucked off. She ran away, and I was like, oh my god, is this shirt gonna come back to haunt us in the future? And it never did.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's why I was like, something happened that made me be like, why did we do that?
Yeah.
And that was it. But yeah.
She fucked off. She ran away.
Well, I mean, I probably would too.
I mean, yes. But and that's not why I was mad. I was just kind of like in my brain. I was like, oh my God, like there's DNA evidence now that this poor girl, A, witnessed it, right? Like, and she's definitely going to the cops. And,
oh, God, yeah.
And B, now has a shirt with her DNA possession on top of her. So like there's a way to track her. And I was like, especially with like today's modern.
And Sloan really has no logical reason for being in that area.
Yeah.
And now like, yeah. So no, definitely I was like, I don't remember. I guess I wiped it from my brain what happened because it just didn't happen.
Yeah, it's fine. That's the one thing. Like with every, because they mentioned cleaning up, I guess, but like only that first time. Like after after that, like when they went to the dinner party guy, let's talk about the dinner party because we have to talk about the dinner party.
Okay, for one, only Sloane had an invitation mm-hmm. to begin with.
Yes.
And Rowan was kind of like, he schmoozed his way into one, and she was not pleased.
No, because she wanted to have the kill.
This is mine. But the twist of it all was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But going into the dinner, and she's like talking all sophisticated and having a good time, and Rowan's just kind of like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, can we get to killing now?
Yeah, and he just wasn't getting it, and he was drinking all that wine that he was getting, so he got drugged.
And she was like, are you dumb?
He's like, are you fucking stupid? She kept like mouthing to him, but he just wasn't picking up what she was putting down.
And which gave me total himbo vibes, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And I do love a good himbo, so I was like, this is adorable. She's gonna have to save him. And then halfway through, he just...
Well, before that, he ate a bunch of beef niçoise.
Oh my goodness.
Guys, this was the accidental cannibalism. So they went to this dinner party for the serial killer who liked to cook people and serve it to his victims before killing those people. And then I'm assuming serving those people to the next people.
Now, the cooking the people wasn't the only thing he did.
Mm-hmm. He did a lot of gross stuff.
The ice cream.
Yeah.
The ice cream.
David with the ice cream. David was his lobotomized manservant who Sloane took a liking to. And after Sloane beautifully kills this man, because, you know,
it's exquisite.
Yes. And helps our poor Rowan after he's puking up literal people. They go into the kitchen because David, the lobotomized guy, is still in there.
And he's just sitting there, chilling, nothing happened.
Just eating cookies and cream ice cream. And then they read the ingredients on the ice cream, and there's freshly milked semen in there.
Oh. Okay. The date got me, though.
Mm.
And I loved how the date comes back into play later on. But I was just like, who the fuck thinks of this shit? I mean, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sitting back, reading it, I appreciate it. But I have to wonder, the thought process and plotting that it took when she was plotting it, writing down, semen infused cookies and cream ice cream.
Yeah. Good between March, whatever.
Oh, our last baddie shows up at the very end, and he is a baddie for book two, and he happens to be related to our previous baddie, and is coming back for some vengeance. And I will tell you, reading it gave me Old Testament vibes. I don't know why, but it felt so much like the wrath was coming.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So
Old Testament is really the wrath of God, punishments, the retribution of it all, an eye for an eye type vibes. Okay. Very Southern, I'm gonna bury you. And you're going to pay for all the things you did. That's what that gave me. That impending doom.
Mm-hmm. The phantom.
And I am so here for it.
I'm excited for it too. But I'm going to ask you this one thing. Because I have ADHD too. With your ADHD, did you see David coming at the end? Did you see that plot twist there?
I thought David had something to do with it. But not the extent. Yeah. I thought maybe he was shared as like there were other people that used him, or he was known to other serial killers, whatnot. I did not expect what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. And I think It was well done because my ADHD, like you said, ADHD, I normally catch these things. Mm-hmm. I normally am like, oh, that's going to happen. This is going to happen. I was like, something different, but I couldn't picture what. And I think she did such a great job of making him seem completely not there.
Yeah.
He was unassuming. I think that's the best way to put it. He was very unassuming.
Yeah. I mean, Homeboy was the best actor. Give him an Oscar, right? Like, he played a lobotomized man for like a year at least. At least, right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I didn't quite see it coming either. But like something kept clicking because ever since David was employed as like his dish boy or whatever. And then Rowan was opening that second restaurant and like things just kept going wrong and good. Yeah. And like nothing was going wrong before David. So I was like, something is going on.
I thought maybe David. Okay, so here's my thing. I thought maybe David was doing the things to mess up the restaurant because he was mad that they had fucked up. But I wasn't, they fucked up whatever he was going on. Maybe he wanted more semen ice cream. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I did not expect him to be so with it and to commit the things that he did. Like, I was like, maybe he ejaculates the men before homie eats them. I don't know. But maybe he was getting his own men off.
Yeah.
And then himself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I was not expecting that. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I had to go back. I was like, nope. But I do enjoy the clues he dropped when breaking up with her.
Yes. So good.
I was like, okay, well done. Well fucking done. Because my dumb ass would have been like, I fucking hate you. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have thought to be like using wrong dates and like I said, the expiration date came back for the cum cream.
Sorry, so gross. So gross.
But yeah, I had a blast with this. I love the little details. I loved how, especially I think my favorite is because women serial killers are not as well known. Mm-hmm. They're not as talked about.
Yeah.
So I think B did a really good job with this book, making her important. Because like you said, he is like enthralled by the fact that she's the Orb Weaver.
Yeah.
And it gives this sense of she is talented in what she does. She's respected. And it's a woman.
Yeah.
Instead of just making her like some one-off serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. So Lachlan does the logistics. Yeah. For Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
But he in book two will be the focus.
Yeah.
Do we think that he's going to be a serial murderer? Or how do we think that's going to?
Because
I was thinking about it and I'm like, okay, but he doesn't kill.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's not his vibe.
I don't know. I mean, he might not be a serial killer. I got the vibes that he like worked for like the FBI or something like that, right? Is that the kind of vibe that you got?
I definitely got the vibe that he worked for some kind of alphabet agency.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of all his contacts and his ability to find things. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Lark is going to drive him. Something's going to happen that's going to drive him to test those boundaries of what he's willing to and not willing to do. Like maybe he's got a moral compass because he respects the fact that his brother only goes after bad people that he maybe can't get in his profession.
Mm-hmm.
But something's going to happen to her that makes him think, I kill a bitch.
Yeah, I think Lachlan will kill people in the next book. I feel, but you know, again, not in the serial killer capacity. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to do it over and over and over again. And like how these two got off on it, you know, these two loved killing serial killers.
It was like a walk in the park for them. They're like, ooh, which weapon are you going to use today? Kind of vibe. I love
it. Like, it gave them an endorphin rush. So like, they loved it. I don't think that Lachlan will get off on it in that way. I do feel that he is going to have, like, a cold, almost, like, blackout rage. Do it and then be like, fuck.
So, the rage of Rowan inside when he first goes after Hotel Man.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I guess we'll see, but that's what I'm thinking. Let's talk about the sex in this book, because we got to talk about the sex in this book. It was hot. It took a while to get to, there. But once we got there, and it was on.
They arrived. Oh, did they arrive? I think that these scenes were some of my favorite that I've read. Again, I think that's bolstered by the fact that I just loved this couple. I loved their personalities, and it showed through during sex so well. They weren't very, sometimes, you know, you get multiple scenes that get repetitive, or the characters say the same things, they do the same actions. I mean, humans do that in real life. So yeah, but I feel like I just loved their connection.
Yeah. It was hot. The dirty talk in this book was next level. If you guys love dirty talk in a book, especially like a dirty talking hero, he threw down. Yeah.
Filthy. I just think they probably would have been a hot thing to watch.
Yeah.
Like some of those, because some couples I read and I'm like, oh, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Next time they get to spicy scene, I'm like, oh, we're here again. Okay, that was okay. I would love to watch Sloan and Rowan or people speak like that to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, because again, like once she gave him the green light, and let's talk about the fact that she was broken. I was not expecting that either. Like once, I did not expect her to be like shoulder dislocated, go time the first time they had sex.
I thought it was, because it was at his brother's house.
Yes.
And she was literally being like put back together after being literally destroyed
by chainsaw guy. She
destroys her ass again.
Yeah.
It was, oh my God. I mean, I literally just fucking put her ass back together. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, like, here's the thing. We felt his like pent up, like, I want her. So after she was like, and she kept teasing him because like he put her in a bathtub and she was like teasing him and he was like, don't like do that because like once I go off, I'm going to go off. And he's and she said like something like, I'm done running around this, Sloan. I've wanted you for 4 years and you're going to show me what I've been missing. And then she said,
let me show you what you've been missing. Show me.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Oh, and he said, there was no amusement. Wait, I met you. I didn't want anyone else, just you. I only want you. There's no amusement or relief in his eyes, only predatory intensity. He looked at me the way a tiger would a lamb.
I just love a good, I'm going to wreck you for anybody else.
Yes.
Sexy. Like, yeah.
Remember what you just said to me, because she's like, okay, whatever, like I want to come or whatever. She's like, because there was a lot of edging in this and a lot of like forced orgasms, which thank you, yes please. Remember what you just said to me, when you think you can't possibly come again, because you will, we've got four fucking years left to make up for. So yeah, there's a lot of like orgasm control, orgasm denial. Not really denial, but like edging. He eventually let her come.
I mean, I feel like he may or once or twice made her like come to that brink and then slow down. But it was definitely more of an edging.
Yeah.
Over and over. But the forced orgasm, I don't know who told B she could write this, but thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was really well written. That's the other thing. This book was beautifully written.
I think, so you and I've talked about the fact that I don't enjoy going from one couple to the next in a series.
Yeah.
I finished this and was like, okay, no, I need the next now. Like, I need them now.
Yeah.
That was one of the first times where I've been like, more of this writing. Like, I didn't care who was being written, more of this writing. It was really well done. And I think Fluffy dark romance is a new favorite subgenre of mine.
Same. I agree. The other really hot thing that you don't see a lot in books was the fact that he came in her then ate her out, like sucked out his own cum, but didn't end it there. He then spit it into her mouth.
Snowballing is such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing in books. because I am a kinky, I'm a kinky motherfucker. Baby, you could tie me up, tie me down, slap me, call me all sorts of names, and a whole bunch of other stuff that we would have to have conversations about consent about. but I draw the line personally at spitting in my mouth your cum that you just sucked out of my hoo-ha. And so I love that for other people, and I love fucking reading about it. I do, but I have never. No, thank you. Yes.
I don't like spit in general. Like, I know some people like are into spitting. Like, do not spit on me. Do not spit in me. It's not a thing that I enjoy. Like, I know for a while on TikTok that was like a hot thing. Like, ooh, spit in my mouth, and I'm like, I don't think that's hot.
The videos if you do, where the guy fine. Drinks, the guy drinks alcohol and then spits it in her mouth, and I'm just like,
no.
I'd like a shot. Hold the spit, please.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like,
no shaming. I'm not shaming. If you love that, I love that for you.
Great, go get it, girl.
I love that for you.
Also, if you want to come in me and then eat your own cum out, like I'm fine. That I'm fine with. Like nice. that's your business if you want to do that.
Me, I'm just here for the ride. Yeah. But please swallow it or spit it out. Just not.
Yeah. Or spit it out like into a bucket. I don't know.
Are we bringing buckets to bed now?
That's the other thing. I was like, I don't want to bring a bucket to my bedroom.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, this has gone off the rails.
But like I said, hot in a book all day long because that sense of, that was like your mind. That was another, I'm going to nut you. I'm going to eat it out of you and then I'm going to put it back in your fucking body.
Yeah.
Like, I own all holes, all of them.
Yeah, that was hot. And then later when he built her a whole ass restaurant that he named after her, by the way, guys. Really,
if he wanted to, he would. Just a reminder for the men listening.
Yeah.
If he wanted to, he would. He should.
And he built her own booth on which, of course, they fucked. And then he made her walk home with like their cum, like dripping down her legs. That was hot.
I have a thing about that I just love. It's just like when guys are so territorial in books, people in books, maybe in real life, who knows? and they literally nut in them and are like, you're gonna walk around with me on you. So every guy that comes around you is talking to you with you marked by me. Fuck yes. It's an immediate yes. That is a green flag. I'm colorblind, so I don't know, but we're gonna say that's a green flag. I'm metaphorically colorblind, y'all.
I gotcha. I agree with you.
I'm going to ask my husband, can you role play as serial killer?
Ooh.
And I mean, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're not actually unaliving people, even though I probably have a whole list, I think it's safe. I'm not really hurting anybody. I'd probably have to kick the kids out for the weekend, though.
Probably for the best, for their mental health. Yes.
Hey, everybody's got a therapist in this house. But yeah. But yeah. Was there anything that you wanted to see happen in the book? Or anything you would want to happen in book two?
Oh, I don't know. Book two is like a whole... Lachlan, I think I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to say that I feel like Lachlan is going to be my hero. Like, Rowan was hot. But I feel like Lachlan is more of my kind of guy. First of all, he's a leather worker. Okay, this got potential. You know he's going to be building some sort of BDSM situation, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, he's like, he seems more my type. Like, I don't know. He's definitely cocky. He wasn't described as like a pretty boy. I'm not really into a pretty boy. I've said this before. I need my man to be a little ugly.
Ruggedly.
Yeah, like you can't be prettier than
ugly hot. Ugly hot.
Yeah, but like, man,
I just learned that phrase the other day and I was like, okay, but wait, that makes sense.
Yeah, like I need a man to look like a man, you know, like a pretty boy. I'm never really into.
And Roman describes himself as such.
Yeah. Yes. Also, I feel like he's like the strong, silent type, you know, Lachlan. Like he's, I don't know, like something about him spoke to my dirty soul. So
I think Rowan was very, he was comedic relief, himbo-ish. Mm-hmm. He was funny.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gave the tone of the comedy for the dark romance.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Lachlan might lean towards more, there'll be less comedy unless we get Rowan like pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be less comedy in it.
Maybe Lark will be the comedy because she's pretty funny. Like she was funny.
Yeah, maybe. I look forward to it. I will say, part of me wants a baby.
For these two?
No.
Okay.
For Rowan Sloan to maybe have a baby scare. And Rowan kind of be like, okay, but we could take him on hunts.
Mm.
We could make them like a combo. The Boston Beaver. Like
the Boston Weaver. I love it.
But I want, like, they don't actually have to have a baby. But just, like, I think it would be an interesting, hilarious conversation for him to be planning all these things. And her be like, we kill people for a living.
Yeah.
That's not the best, like, situation for a baby. And he'll be like, but I mean, the Boston Weaver, I mean, come on now.
I mean, talking about if he wanted to, he will, the like the epilogue with the wedding, that was fucking fantastic, because we've already gotten the will, like Sloan is definitely got some sort of autism, in my humble opinion, right? Like she's got some, like, a touch of the autism, and so she's very, like, she has, like, three people she likes.
I definitely think there's some neurospicy there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her personality. I resonate. I think a lot of people can resonate with her personality. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. And so, like, she was really nervous. First of all, the proposal we should talk about, because he proposed to her on a hunt. And he put the ring in the paper bird that she drew on for him, like, and when she came to visit, which, by the way, he kept and got tattooed on his back.
If he wanted to, he would, people.
So he put the ring in that, and then he put that in an eye socket hole. How cute is that?
She's the orb weaver. She uses the eye. It was so sweet.
It was adorable. It was so beautiful. So. And then, you know, so they're engaged and that's great. But now she's having anxiety about, like, planning the wedding and having the wedding. And, like, it is a lot of work to have a wedding.
Yeah.
So he, like, plans this girl's trip for her at this beautiful, like, I don't know, inn or whatever. And then just, like, surprises her with a wedding and she didn't have to do anything.
If he wanted to, he would, people. I will say this about all of our fucking theorists.
Yeah.
I think that's why I keep saying, like, we have picked amazing books that have really dug deep into their characters, like personalities, mm-hmm. their histories, and given them fleshed out, like, identities. And I think that Sloan and Rowan complemented each other so well. Mm-hmm. She was the calm to his crazy, because Rowan was kind of like, swing first, ask questions later.
Yep.
And he was the crazy to her silence.
Yeah.
He kind of gave her a corral, if you will, to be free.
Yeah.
Where she had that space to do and be, and he protected her outside of her boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the wedding, the surprising her with it, was just another show of how well he knew his wife, fiance.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was well done.
Yes. If you guys haven't read this book, you should. There's a whole bunch more that we didn't talk about. It's a long book.
It is.
But it's really, really well done. It's funny. It's sexy. It's gross. Like, it's everything you want it to be.
It is gross.
It is gross.
The amount of times I was like,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still randomly think about ice cream and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it just, I don't know.
That just will forever haunt me. And B, if you're listening, you owe me a new favorite ice cream.
Yeah. I've loved me some cookies and cream ice cream. And I'm not going to lie. I did eat it when our friend brought it for our book club, but it like just didn't hit right, you know?
Okay, wait, she brought it for this book club?
Yeah.
Oh, she's savage.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's the best.
I love that.
We had like a whole dinner party situation where I made like fig pizza. Cause remember that like he made like some sort of figgy dessert that they kept coming back to, which again was funny when they were fucking in the kitchen. And he was feeding her that creme brulee and he was trying to get her to tell him like what it's missing. And he's like, it's just not, it doesn't have something.
And this is again, Rowan's just crazy because mm-hmm. I've been like, bro, you're busy. We're busy. Can you not go back to that?
But she's perfect for him because she goes, what's it missing? Well, Thorsten Harris probably will suggest blank.
I love that. I love this coupling. It was never dry. There was never a hanging moment where you were like, okay, this is missing something. They fell together appropriately. And even though, yes, slow burn,
slow,
it was well done. It's timed well.
Yeah. So like we had a whole dinner party planned out. Like I did not make beef niçoise, but I did go buy a bunch of cold cuts and put it next to the cheese board, you know.
it was a beef charcuterie lookalike. Yeah,
it was anyway,
you know, so what, Thurston would be proud.
Thank you. And we had wine because he was a wine connoisseur. We didn't put any blood in it, but you know.
tomato tomato.
Yeah,
it was grapes blood.
Yes,
so technically
yes,
it counts.
It counts. It does. I highly recommend, by the way, guys, finding you some girly friends who love reading and then pick a book and then have like a little dinner party. It's an excuse to get together once a month with your friends and like actually without kids, without husbands, without anything, like just get together, have a good time, drink some wine. I got a little too drunk that night. But you know,
did the savage have to come get you?
No, thankfully it was at my house, so I just walked my ass upstairs.
I love that. Yeah. I would have to invite people to my house. I would probably do it in a hotel room so I could kick them out and probably start reading again afterwards without kids.
Yeah, I love hosting. Before I had kids, it was like one of my favorite things. It's like having people over and like, again, nothing too fancy, but like a nice cheese board, some wine, make some food. It's a good time. So highly recommend a spicy book club with your friends. So, and you know, if your friends are down to bring you some ice cream to gross you out, that's even better. I'm telling you, I ate it, but I just it like didn't taste right.
And it not tasting right probably like was like alarm bells in your head, like there's something wrong with this.
I was like, oh God, like did somebody come in this ice cream? Blech. You know that there's a whole cookbook with that has semen like as an ingredient, like a semen cookbook. I'm gonna have to remember. Hang on. My Google search is going to hell.
Your FBI agent is probably like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Speaking of cookbooks while we're waiting, I just read Naomi Loud's On the Line.
Uh-huh.
And there's like recipes. Because he's a wine chef, there's recipes in the back of the book.
Ooh.
And when I tell you more authors that include food in their books need to do that,
yeah,
I'm obsessed.
I love that.
Now, if your recipes are semen and chocolate cookies and cream, you could probably pass.
Yeah.
Or human beef, you could probably pass on that too. But everybody else is more than welcome.
Okay, so just looking at this, guys, there is... not one, not two, not three, but 8 semen cookbooks on the market, at least. Okay?
You say eight?
Eight. Natural Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes. Cooking with Semen, 50 Delicious Recipes. God. There's another, oh my God. Cooking with Semen, 100 Delicious Recipes.
When I tell you the way I would yeet myself off the planet if somebody had asked me to cook out. No. I have to look this up now because I am.
There's at least eight, guys. There's at least eight books on the market, on Amazon, on eBay, on whatever.
It's all Books a Million.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Oh, my God.
So just so you know, it's not in stock in the store. However, it is $29.99 for Harvest, Natural Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Fotenhar, I don't know how to say this man's last name. Hausch. It's German.
Yeah, I see it.
It's not happening.
I see it.
It's a harsh last name. But Paul here has written one, two, three of them. The Semenology, The Semen Bartender's Guide.
That's, no. I mean, look, this is TMI, but who are we? Like, I swallow anyway, but like, I don't need it in my food. You know what I mean? Like,
you swallow. I swallow too. That's great. Yeah. Babe, if you don't get your cock all the way back to my throat so I don't have to actually taste it when you come, that would be great.
Yes. Like, yes. 100%.
I don't know how them females be like, looking into your mouth, sitting on your... No. Pass.
Same.
I'm going to swallow and we're going to go about our day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not deep throating for you. I'm deep throating for me.
This is... how I get through this.
Oh, this has gone off the rails. All right.
Funny enough, I posted on my Facebook about this being our first podcast, my first official co-hosting podcast with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so my family was like, oh my God, congratulations. The way I had to edit that and be like, understand, Familia, this is not one for you.
No.
This is not, you do not belong here. These are not the droids you're looking for. Please double it and give it to somebody I'm not related to.
Yeah.
Because on the first episode, we talked about trading sex for favors. Butt sex.
Yes.
That's the last thing I want my mother-in-law listening to, knowing her son plows me 10 ways from Sunday. Do you understand how uncomfortable Easter Sunday would be at her house?
Yeah.
This Catholic woman with angels all on top of her freaking bookshelves, talk with her my husband's communion papers, which is what you get when you do like Christian Catholic things. And she's knowing that her son is railing me. I mean, she knows because we got a fucking 8-year-old kid, but she doesn't know I trade favors for buses, and I don't want her to know. I make videos and podcasts for strangers on the internet. Not family and friends.
No, which is why you're brave posting that on your, like, I have a Facebook page that's like for family. And then I have Facebook for like, I have two different last names. Okay. Savage. Savage is for my spicy friends. My real last name is for my real family. Like, and his family and my friends, like none of my friends, well, not should say none. Most
the two
of my
ever
friends.
Cross.
And, yeah. Most of my friends and family don't know. Only like my BFFs know.
My mom knows what I read. My mother-in-law has an idea. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you are a friend or family member listening to this and are now questioning why, I hope that it haunts your dreams. Cause I warned you. Because I know I'm a very visual person. If my friend tells me what they do with their spouse, unintentionally, I see it.
Yeah.
I know it's...
My mother-in-law follows the Instagram account. And I'm like... my husband told her. And I was like, babe, why did you... Why? Because she, like, likes the stuff. And, like, half of them, you know, is, like, me bothering my husband. And, like, he's talking to me in ways. And I'm like, do you... I don't know about this.
You won't have to explain this at the next family dinner. I'm not. I'm just going to look at you and be like, yeah, babe, what's your answer?
Mm-hmm. You know.
Family and friends, I am telling you, please do yourself a service.
Yeah. No, thank you. No.
So, yeah.
Anyway, we love the book.
Oh, yes.
Read the book. Any, like, last words about the book before we do palate cleansers?
I don't think I have any last words. I think I have expressed my utter love for this.
Yes.
And it's definitely, like, on my reread list as well. Mm-hmm. It's something I could reread and have a fucking good time. I'd have to have time for it because, like you said, it is a longer book. But it was a good time. It was a very good time.
I agree, and I'm really looking forward to book two. It comes out in June, so we got a couple months before we can read that one.
Yes.
Any
it's already a yes. You don't even have to ask me. It's a yes.
Yeah, no. I was not asking. I was going to be like, so the only question I was going to say is, when are we recording? Because it comes out on, hang on, let's see, when does it come out? I already have it pre-ordered. Like, it's going to show up in my Kindle and make my day, so I'm excited. Book two is called, like, Leather and Lark, I think.
Yes, the Ruinous Love trilogy. It comes out June 4th.
June 4th. So I guess June 5th we're recording.
Give me a little bit of time.
No, I got
summer
you.
Summer is wrestling season heavy.
Ugh, no, it's fine. We'll definitely be doing that.
Oh, for sure.
I should ask... Actually, we already know what you and I are doing next. We're going to be doing The Awakening by L.V. Lane. So yes. Tune in next week when Lo and I talk about The Awakening by L.V. Lane, which is one of my favorite Omega verses. So I can't believe we've never done an L.V. Lane book because I love that whole series. The whatever the Alpha series it is. I don't remember the names. I'm sorry.
Girl,
The Controllers. It's called The Controllers.
Yeah.
So I can't believe we've never done that on the podcast, but I'm really excited to do that. What are you reading, watching, doing? What is a palate cleanser you want to hit me with?
So I, last year, Good Girls PR reached out to me for reading a sensitivity reading for an author.
Mm-hmm.
The Blood Hunted series. Ooh. And by Ariel Ray. Book one, I read it and loved it so much so that I was like, I need book two, and then life. And so the other day she popped up on my FYP and I was like, wait a goddamn minute. I haven't read the book two. So I'm reading Blood Trail. Basically, Fae come to Earth to pretty much take over. They've destroyed their world and they're able to control the minds of humans. Remove consent, make them sexually attracted to the Fae. Mm. Yes. And she's the only one that is immune. And so she ends up, and so what she does, she's the Fae Slayer. She sleeps with them. She fucks them and then kills them.
Fuck yeah. Oh.
And then so she gets tied up with one, and her plan is to kill the king. Come to find out, the one she gets tied up with is the king's son. And he also wants to kill his father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You are speaking my language.
After betrayal has happened.
Okay.
I'm super excited. What about you? What are you reading?
No one's going to be surprised that I'm reading a Zoe Blake arc that I'm loving. I told you about, actually, it's like the Zoe Blake, Alta Hensley baby books, because I told you that those two came together and started writing. I'm reading book two of that series. Hang on. It is called Then Hate Me by Blake Hensley. It is part of the Gilded Decadence series. I told you about it last time, like book one was really fun.
Yeah.
It's about like these elite members of super fancy New York, like upper echelon. And this book, the first book was arranged marriage trope. This book was kidnapping trope, which is my thing.
I do love a good kidnapping.
So in book one, the hero kind of like stops a wedding and does one of those like, she's mine, like you can't marry her things. So he steals this guy's wife, more or less, because he's about to literally about to marry her. So to get revenge, the guy from book one kidnaps the guys who kidnapped his, who took his wife, his sister. He kidnapped his sister and does some dirty, dirty things to her. And then they fall in love. One of the highlights from this book, I'm not finished with it yet, but it is fun. He kidnaps her to like this small cottage in Rhode Island because nobody would know, because they're such like no one would suspect that he'd be in like a small cottage because he's a multi-billionaire. And he makes her cook him dinner, but she doesn't know how to cook because she's like a wealthy socialite, and but she's too proud to tell him that she can't cook, so she sets herself on fire by accident. And this is the funniest scene. Talk about funny books. Like, this book is funny and hot. He, like, storms into the kitchen and she's, like, ablaze. So he rips her dress off of her because it's on fire and shoves her in the shower to, like, hose her down. And then is, like, furious at her for, well, lying to him and, like, causing a fire and catching herself on fire. So then he takes care of her and, like, takes care of her in the shower. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you, one of my favorite, like, I don't know what you would call it, like, plot movers, I guess, or things in plot, is when the MMC or they, the MMC, FMC, is mad at the other person for hurting themselves. Or getting hurt or putting themselves in a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Breed Her Harder by BJ Mann has that in it, and I just love that so much.
Oh, that sounds fun. Breed Her Harder by who? Sorry.
Breed Her Hard by BJ Mann. I think it's in the dungeon.
Okay.
So I'll have to find it and send you the link to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, send me a link because I'll put it in show notes if everybody wants it.
It's completely breeding kink. Y'all just see now.
All right. I like it. But yeah, that's what I'm reading. I had a great time with it. So it, I mean, I'm not done. Again, I'm not done with it, but so far it's fantastic and I'm having a fantastic time reading it. Blake Hensley for the win.
I have FOMO because you're having a great time.
Well,
I
want to have a great time. Book one is out, so you can read book one. Book one is, and it's would on you KU.
Would you say it's kind of dark?
It's dark-ish. It's dark-ish. It's got some dubcon on it, in it for sure. Dubcon, the first one, dubcon. What else is in there? Mine, Touch Her and Die. Yeah. It's dark. It's again, it's like kind of on this scale. Like it's not super dark, but no one would say that it's not dark.
Okay.
Like a normal human being would read and be like, "What the fuck is wrong with you? He raped her." You know.
I'm sold.
And that book is called The More I Hate. And then Hate Me is book two. But The More I Hate is out.
Okay. Well, I am adding this to my list of my never.
Me too.
My never ending.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Come back next week when we go into one of my favorite Omegaverses. And have a great week, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Did you enjoy that podcast episode? And do you want to join in on the fun, but you have no idea how to start? Well, I have some news for you. You know Tori and I had absolutely no idea what we were doing when we dreamed up our little dark romance podcast idea, right? Well, thankfully, we found Spotify for Podcasters. And if the two of us could figure it out, so can you. This platform is so easy to use. It lets you make a podcast super duper easily, distribute it everywhere, and even make money, all from one place, and for free. Spotify for Podcasters even lets you record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. And then when you're ready, you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and wherever else podcasts are heard. They even have video podcasts on Spotify. And with Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And again, it's totally free. So, what do you have to lose? Have you been sitting on an idea because you just didn't know where to start? Well, go ahead and make it happen with Spotify for Podcasters. You can download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasters to get started. I can't wait to hear what you come up with. Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, please don't forget to rate and review us on whichever podcast platform you listen on. Not only do we really appreciate those 5-star reviews, but they also help the algorithm suggest us to other listeners. And if you just can't get enough of us, please make sure you're following us on all our socials. We're at Trigger Warning Romance on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads. If you want to connect with us and other Trigger Tribe members, join the Facebook group. It's Trigger Warning Romance, a dark romance podcast listener support group. You know we're always happy to hear from you, so please don't be shy with the book recs, episode ideas, or just say hello. Please slide into our DMs, email us at triggerwarningromance@gmail.com, or connect via our website, triggerwarningromance.com. Happy reading, everyone!